A lot of familiar faces here in the Limited community. So for this space, I think we could start off by briefly recapping Cosmoverse. We have two spaces today, by the way, just to give everyone some context. So for this space, we'll provide a brief recap on Cosmoverse, and then we can also talk about the grant proposal that Chris posted on Agora yesterday, and answer any questions that the community might have. And then obviously also talk about Cosmoverse if people have any questions or want to discuss that as well. And then we'll also have a Twitter space later today as well at, I believe it's, is it 1 p.m.? Well, we tweeted from a Terra account about it. So I think it's, 7 p.m. UTC. So that one will be geared towards specifically discussing the grant proposal. So we wanted to make. Without further ado, why don't we get started and talk a little bit about Cosmoverse? So I can start it off by just saying that overall the event went really well. So this was our first event that we had attended or sponsored since the DPEG back in May 2022. And the response that we saw from the community was incredibly positive across Cosmos. So Cosmoverse 2023 was in Istanbul, Turkey. And Turkey's a beautiful place. It was wonderful to meet some of the people from the Turkish community there, Turkish Web3 community. And there was a lot of interest in what we were building, kind of the future path that Chris had laid out in his keynote presentation. So a few of the things that we did at the event. So one of the things that we did was we had an exhibition booth in the exhibition room. So we had printed about 100 Terra t-shirts, and all of those t-shirts were gone after a day and a half. So they were gone by midday, the second day of the three-day event, which is great to see. So that was the max amount of t-shirts that we could print, and Evan, who's on the docs team here at TFL, could fit in his suitcase. So it was great to see that people, are still excited to represent the Terra brand. And a lot of the people that got the shirts on day one were already wearing them on day two, which is cool to see. We also printed a ton of stickers. So we had like Terra, Luna, Enterprise, Warp, and Station stickers, and gave out hundreds of those as well. And then Chris delivered a keynote presentation discussing the future of Terra. If you guys haven't seen that or listened to that, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. I posted about that a few days ago. And Chris, I'm not sure if you want to just briefly recap some of the main points that you talked about in that presentation.
I've done a lot of thinking about like the future of Terra, obviously, over the last 6 months, taking over from kind of like a visionary founder like Doe presents, I don't want to call it unique challenges, we'll call them unique opportunities. I've done one of these transitions before, by the way, like taking over from a founder and in a crisis and kind of trying to lead a company back. And this one's unique. And so look, we had a very strong vision/meme with the first version of Terra, right? And it failed. Ultimately, the product failed, right? Like, that's just inarguable. And so as we chart a new path forward, like, it's not in Terra's DNA just to like not have a strong perspective or a unique value prop And so like trying to just kind of plod forward with the general purpose, blockchain isn't going to be effective and isn't really interesting to any of us. Like I'd rather just move on to something new. So what I, you know, I mean, like ultimately I had to go think through like what resonated with me, and what I felt would resonate with the community, and combine that with what I thought we could execute on, with the team that we have. And so, like I said, I went in the presentation, I went back, I kind of tried to listen to all of the content that I had originally consumed when I became interested, in Terra in the first place. And if you haven't done that, I would like highly recommend just going back and listening to some of those interviews, from 2021. Because they just kind of like give you a good perspective on Terra pre like pure speculative mania and all of crypto. Like 2022, just the first half of 2022 just got so crazy. maybe even like the later half of 2021. But anyway, like, you know, there were things that resonated with me. Ultimately, the thing that resonated with me the most is that essentially Doe's point that capital allocated in a vacuum is meaningless. And this parallel or this kind of point he made about, you know, Wall Street existing to serve Main Street. And it just reminded me, and I was able to reflect on what drew me to Terra in the first place. And that was real world use cases, a transition from crypto being just kind of like a self-referential speculative gambling platform, which I'm not against, but try to turn it into something productive in the economy. And if you go back and listen to those interviews from 2021, that's literally the entire point. People didn't even, like, people were still even trying to understand what Anchor was at that point. And so, like, that resonates with me. And that's a mission that I can commit, and TFL can commit our time, resources, and careers to. And like I said in the presentation, we don't have a stable coin anymore, but there's a massive gaping hole in Cosmos and in crypto generally for applications that solve this problem. And we think we have, I have an unlimited backlog of applications that could potentially solve this problem, and tools like decentralized reputation, that actually make it practical to solve the problem in Web3 and practical to solve, like some of the, to fix some of the problems that we've seen in the initial attempts to do what we want to do. I've also seen like massive gaps in infrastructure that allow applications to actually be useful. I think there are massive errors between what I would call fake decentralization and UX UI, that leave like kind of a massive gap in the market to like respect all of the most important parts about decentralization, but actually give people a product with like features that they're used to, like throwing away everything from Web 2 and everything that can exist in a database just isn't really practical if we're gonna try to get people to transition over. And so yeah, it's like a combination of like a massive gap in the market, a massive need. Frankly, I don't think crypto matters if we don't solve this need, and I don't see anyone else really working on it. So we're gonna try. And it also kind of fits with my experience of building applications and scaling applications to millions of users, building applications that people will, that actually create value. You don't have to pay people to use. And so that's what we're going to do. I won't go through all the applications. You can go watch the presentation. If you're on this, you probably know what they are anyway. So.
Yeah, no, the presentation was great. And there was a lot of people talking on Twitter about how this was their favorite presentation of the event or one of the ones that they found most compelling. So that was really great to see. Outside of that, we also did a Warp hackathon and workshop. And Vlad can talk a little bit about how that went and some of the things that came out of that.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, Warp is a decentralized automation service that allows you to automate any function within any of your applications on chain. And so a big use case that we've seen displayed with this is limit orders, where you basically Warp waits for a price. Once that price is hit, it opens up your order for anybody to execute for you. So you're basically able to pre-sign transactions. And a big question actually when we pitch this to dApps is like, what can it do and what can it automate? And we've essentially gotten to a point with Warp where it acts like a programming language, meaning you could automate literally anything as long as all of the data is on chain. And that still, I don't think has hit with most people that look at Warp. They still think, you know, there's some huge limitation or there's some catch. And so to display that it really is as powerful as we claim it to be, we decided to do a hackathon. And I think the best way to show people just how powerful Warp is by getting them to use the application itself. And so we did get a few really interesting submissions. You know, some that have to do with automating enterprise functions. We had, you know, grid bot functionality that was submitted as well. And then there was something also really interesting where some guy had a project where he was trading kilowatts of energy and wanted to use Warp to detect you know, who's a buyer and who's a seller, and then automatically transition energy through his IoT devices. So those devices would be connected to the blockchain, and then Warp would notify where this energy has to go in a decentralized manner. And so the three use cases I mentioned right now are wildly different. But again, that displays how generalized and how arbitrary these things can be. Again, it's literally a programming language. And so I think like moving forward, we should definitely have more of these events, more events like this, so that people can actually test the limitations of Warp. Like we've gotten to a point where, for all the use cases that we can think up, we have a solution, like it's possible to do in Warp. And so we want to see, you know, people pushing the boundaries with ideas and with applications, so that we can see what Warp is capable of, and if it's not capable of something, write that into the system.
Yeah, no, the Warp Hackathon was great. There, some of the other ideas was DCA job. There was an Alliance Auto Compounder, so basically taking your rewards, turning it into an LST, and then restaking it to basically compound that process. And then I think there was a token burn. Maybe that's what you were talking about with the enterprise one, Vlad, with the auto token burn job. I think that was actually, I see Ryan Line in here. I think that was actually someone from the LionDAO community that was at the event that was talking about using that for the reward token. So shout out to the LionDAO community. But yeah, overall the event went really well. We also had a bunch of interesting discussions with various different Cosmos teams, many of them expressing interest in integrating our software, collaborating on different projects. But overall the event was really I think quite positive for us. And I think with that we can kind of move on to talk about the grant a little bit. I see we got a couple requests for speakers here. So if there's people in the audience, if you guys haven't checked out the grant proposal that we posted, you could check that out on Agora. But we can, Chris, if you want to give maybe an overview, then we could dive into some of the questions that people might have.
Yeah, I think the grant speaks for itself. Like in the primary objective and 4719 just posted this in the Telegram, is to accelerate the ecosystem right now. We're trapped in a space where like all the teams are like trying to compete with each other for community grant proposals. A lot of teams need help getting started right now. My inbox and Telegram are full of them. Luna can't support it. TFL Treasury can, but we need to know that when this TFL Treasury that we have today is gone, and it's not going to last forever. I think it can get us through, well, depending on how much we kind of deploy, it can get us through the short term, but we need to know that like, if this is successful, we have Luna backstopping us to, you know, sustain our operations and to continue to support this ecosystem for the long term. Yeah, and so if you want to go read the details of everything we have planned, you can do that in the grant proposal. I've also been in our Telegram answering questions yesterday and this morning, so you can go back and review that as well. But yeah, let's just open it up. Just open it up for questions here.
Sounds good. We've got a few requests here. Just to preface this again, as I mentioned in previous spaces, we're not going to be discussing Terra Classic. So if there's questions about Terra Classic or funds related to Terra Classic, you know, this space is going to be focused on the new Terra ecosystem and specifically this grant proposal. So with that, I'll bring up the first speaker and then we can go from there. All right. Mehmet, do you have a question? Mehmet, can you hear us? Okay. Might not have a question. Let's bring up the next speaker here. T Image, how you doing?
Hey guys. I'm a little bit sick, but I hope you can still hear me. I have a question regarding the proposal. How do you plan to exactly fund the team? So for example, in the past we had it always like these teams requested proposals and then we in the community need to discuss them, do the due diligence on them, and oftentimes as well they were announced devs and we had no chance to see who they really are and no legal capacity to, for example, if they get funds and then doesn't deliver anything, can you give us a little hint or plan how you plan to do it? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, like, this is one of the things we hope to, I mean, this is one of the primary objectives of this grant is to allow TFL to actually enter, when we fund these things, that we can actually enter into legal contracts with these teams and they have to deliver what they say they're going to deliver. And there's legal recourse and we know who they are. So yeah, TFL is not going to give money away to Anons. That doesn't mean they have to be public. They have to be known to us, right? And there's going to be a legal relationship between us. That doesn't mean they have to like be publicly. There's probably a better way to say that. But yeah, I mean, we can enforce these contracts. And right now, I haven't seen like a legal framework where a DAO can, or even just like the operational ability for a DAO to do it. Although we would love to like, I think I mentioned this in the Telegram, I met a guy at Cosmoverse who was building DAO software that had some of this. Like, we would love to implement this. And we also like one of our primary products is DAO tooling, right? And so we do believe in decentralized governance and we believe that there's a place for it. I just don't believe it's been proven out at the scale that is trying to be attempted with Terra, especially given all of the headwinds Terra has in terms of reputation and everything else that present unique challenges. And so like we love to see kind of like this decentralized government experiment continue to play out with some of the teams that are on Enterprise DAO now. We just spun up Warp DAO. We just spun up Growth DAO. I think there's another one that we're hoping to back, that TFL's hoping to back as soon as this grant goes through. And I just think it makes more sense for these, and they are still experiments. We have to acknowledge that. And I think it makes more sense for these to play out and develop and grow on a smaller scale. before they get applied to trying to deploy a 300 million Luna treasury in the middle of a fairly intense crisis. So yeah, I think like the types of grants we will give will also be different, I would say. I talked about this in Telegram as well. Like we've got to take like a less emotional and a more data-driven approach to allocating capital. And I think that means making sure that like how we do it aligns with the outcomes we want to get. And the outcomes we want to get are products that drive user engagement, that drive user retention. And so they have to be kind of incentive. They have to be kind of incentive supported. And there are also kind of unique ways we can do it, like with liquidity support, so that it's not just giving a team money to build, which I think is kind of unsustainable, but can TFL use undeployed capital that's sitting idle to help bootstrap instead, rather than like kind of unsustainable incentives. And so, yeah, those are some of the ideas about how we'll do it. And you can go see, I've talked about this a lot in Telegram, so you can go back and review those chats on how we would deploy.
Yeah, this sounds great. I already read in the Telegram. And what I want to ask too is, for example, is it possible, I think, that we maybe implement something like, okay, if you hit a milestone, then you get a payment. And this is probably possible with Enterprise. From what I heard about your presentation, so would be nice to hear how the plans are there, if it get out immediately, if it's get out paid immediately or over time. So yeah,
do you mean for if TFL deploys capital to these teams, or do you mean if DAOs deploy capital?
Yeah. If TFL deploys capital, for example, if you said you want to plan it with the DAO, with the Enterprise DAO, and there my question is it possible to send it over time? So, for example, you hit a milestone and then you get some Luna.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, look, we want to use. I wouldn't say we want to use Enterprise DAO to do this. We want to use whenever we launch Enterprise Labor Markets. A lot of the stuff that we want to do would be. Like the projects would be deployed through the Enterprise Labor Markets product. And so,
okay,
that will allow for like milestones, and it'll allow for like a labor market needs to allow for all types of kind of like arrangements, and milestones would be one of them for sure.
Okay, this is good to hear, because then we can see for more transparency how you spend these funds, for example. This would be great.
Yeah, I think so. I think the more, and that's kind of like one of the ideas behind Enterprise specifically that I think will help make us successful is that we have a lot of work that needs to be done that we can use to kind of, feed that market with opportunities for people to get involved, use it, get product feedback, and iterate on it. And definitely like the work that needs to be done in the Terra ecosystem is one of those. And the payments and the payments application combined with it allows for us to set up kind of unique structures in terms of paying people both direct streams for continuing work, or combining like an upfront payment with a token vesting contract that vests on like double triggers of both time and like market cap, for example. So I think there'll definitely be some deals that aren't completely open and transparent just because of the nature of them. There are deals that some partners just aren't going to do otherwise. But yeah, I think there will be a lot that goes through labor markets.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for the questions, T-Image. We'll bring up the next speaker here. We've got Space Toads. Twitter Spaces are not working well for me today. This is taking 5 years to connect. Space Toads, can you hear us? Okay, That was
thank you. Yeah.
Well, that was on brand for them, Chris. That was definitely on brand. You can't say that the swamp sounds were not on brand for Space Toads. Although I was expecting some space sounds to go along with it. It has to be some sort of space swamp if you're going to be a toad, a space toad, but okay.
I need to go get a toad. I'll do that today.
There you go. All right. Any questions on the grant? Any other questions on the grant? Let's see.
Rebel's on here, right? I know he had a question. But maybe instead of me answering in Telegram, he could just kind of repeat it here because I think it's a good one.
Yeah, Rebel, do you want to request to speak if you're in here?
If not, we can read it out. And
yeah. Also, if people don't have a question, they want to come up and say directly in here, you can also post it on the tweet for this space in the replies, and then we can just read it out and answer it that way as well, if people are more comfortable with that. But we got Chris. We have Akajiru coming up here. Do you have a question, Akajiru? Can you hear us?
Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. How are you?
Tokawai, yeah, very nice. Thanks. How about you?
Good.
Awesome. So I had a question about a part in the proposal that I read, and it's about the community pool locking up. Is that to combat what happened with Neptune money market, for example, or is that a separate part, or how is it working?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, this was like a request that a lot of community members have made, and it'll be a separate proposal. So in terms of like your ability to vote on it, so maybe if you disagree with this portion of it, you should, you know, you'll have the opportunity to express that. I think it's basically just people are exhausted of these community proposals. And so there's no accountability. There's no way right now for people to organize around evaluating them appropriately. And I frankly, like, they just lead to that they, in some ways, it feels like they're kind of like destroying the community, and we all just need a break from them for a minute. And TFL, if it has a grant, can serve that purpose. But like every single one of these ends up, the inevitable conclusion is ecosystem partners who should be cooperating and collaborating with each other are fighting. And everyone has good intentions. The validators have good intentions. Everyone's trying to do their best for the ecosystem, and everyone's trying hard to, you know, evaluate and be good stewards of that community pool. And it just feels impossible right now with like the state of the token for any of that to be productive.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I understand.
That's the idea, is just like lock it and give everyone a break. Let TFL spend its treasury to grow the ecosystem, and, you know, come back to it later. Now, like, there are definitely like valid arguments like not to do that. There are valid arguments that like everything should be, we should continue to just try to build the ecosystem out of the community pool, and that we don't need TFL to do it. I just don't think it's going to be effective. Like, I would love to not spend as much money and let the community pool support everything, but it's not working. And frankly, if we don't do something soon, this community pool is not going to be useful in any way. There's no catalyst for this to turn around, and there's no evidence that our current, you know, path is has a solution for it. And so, look, I mean, I think, you know, 4719 stated it probably better than I can in Telegram just a little bit ago. It's like this 100 million Luna that we're requesting is investing over 5 years. We will commit just in the next year or two, and this will answer a little bit of DeFi, Rebel's question. It's like, we'll commit at least that amount, at least the amount of what it's worth today, not to mention what it would be worth if you tried to sell it all on the open market immediately. which would be significantly less than that. We'll commit at least that amount over the next year or two, minimum. And so, like, if you look at this as kind of like a swap arrangement, what other opportunity does this ecosystem have to deploy that amount of capital? And by that amount of capital, is going to be competitive with some of the largest ecosystems in crypto, right? To me, it's kind of a no-brainer swap. Like, if someone else were proposing to come in and take 150 million Luna over, or really the amount that they would be taking, the equivalent amount is like the 100 million over 5 years, and deploy an equivalent amount of capital today of non-Luna over 2 years, like, that's a no-brainer swap. That's a no-brainer investment. So that's why we're proposing it.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. There wasn't even judgment there on that part. It was more of an observation, I would say. And I understand where people are coming from regarding handing TFL that money in regards to centralization issues and other aspects that might be challenging for others to blindly trust, but I guess hand over to TFL. And for me, I just want to say a bit further that I think the point's already reached that we could sacrifice a bit decentralization for a bit more strict leadership that would lead anyone anywhere, instead of the community pool funded Neptune and they're gone now to Injective, and they funded other projects which are also gone, having their own chains or doing something else. So I don't know what TFL or anyone else wants to do against this, but I doubt there's much that people could do about it, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I'm talking to Neptune right now. I don't want, they asked me not to reveal our conversation, and so I'm not going to, but I just need some time to work through. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything TFL can do legally. One other point I just want to make, I made this in the Telegram as well, is we're sacrificing, in some ways you could argue we're sacrificing decentralization, but I just want to make the point that what TFL is proposing would make us no different than Ethereum Foundation plus Consensus. It would make us no different than Solana Foundation. It would make us no different than Arbitrum, Polygon. What we're proposing is not out of step with any other layer one that's been effective in crypto. So yes, it feels like you're sacrificing decentralization based on how Cosmos works. But community pool funded grants that validators have to vote on, that was never, that's a Cosmos construct, not a decentralization or necessarily even a crypto. Some of this community pool grant funding stuff was kind of invented by A16Z as an excuse for people to hold their token so they feel like they're participating. It's not like we're not sacrificing decentralization per se. There's definitely a compromise on how Cosmos has typically wanted to fund projects.
I see. No, I agree, because the community pool way didn't work. So if there are other options, then I guess TFL would be open to it. The prop is another way that the community could go, and if they vote for it, then it will pass. But I'm pretty sure that TFL is open to suggestions or additions, maybe amendments, if they're making sense in some way.
TFL is open to anything that is that like that that respects like the true tenets of decentralization, and is effective. We just want to be effective.
Yeah, that's it, Chris. Thank you so much.
And I just don't. And so like especially with like locking the community pool, if the community doesn't want to do that, if like we've read the room wrong on that and you want to leave it open and continue to have people come request, that's completely fine with us. One isn't dependent on the other. And so you'll have your chance to vote on those independently.
Thanks for the questions, Akajiru. We have Black Trader up here, Black Trader 19. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm a big fan of the proposal. I think that this is a kind of critical time in the Terra life cycle. And I think I really like the idea of kind of making it a little bit more executive as far as how the community funds are spent. So I'm in full agreement with the proposal. My question slash comment is I see TFL as like builders and leaders, but just because a team is very good at building things doesn't necessarily mean they're very good at like per se allocating funds or following up with teams doing due diligence. I'm sure TFL will do, you know, is planning to do a good job of that. But I guess my question is, how exactly are you structuring that like internally at TFL? Is there a committee that's going to be like kind of looking at how the grants are done and how the teams are meeting milestones? Are you guys looking at stuff, other foundations like Solana Foundation, ETH Foundation, Consensus, and even within the Cosmos ecosystem? I don't know if you guys, I know you guys were there, but I don't know if you guys saw the presentation by the guys that do the Atom Accelerator program. Because they had a really interesting presentation, I thought, at Cosmoverse, where they talked about how they started doing their grant program and how they've refined it over the past like 2 years to be more efficient. And like you were just saying, Chris, TFL wants to be effective, right? So I guess I want to make sure, my question slash comment is, are you guys looking at these other ecosystems, these other grant kind of programs that have done this, and are you taking kind of your cues, notes, the experience, the cumulative learnings from these other teams that have done that, and kind of using that in the way that you guys are going to be executing the kind of stewardship of these funds?
Well, yeah, let me address the first point about like, does TFL have the capabilities to do it? Like, you know, like my background is corporate finance, M&A, corporate strategy. I've been involved in two IPOs. I've sold a company and I've bought four companies. I don't mean this like to sound arrogant, but I think I have more experience like allocating capital than the vast majority of like foundation teams in crypto. So yeah, I feel pretty confident that whether it's doing M&A or a grants program and diligence and stuff like that, like I've put us up against any team in crypto. I've done it for private equity, I've done it for venture, and I've done it publicly. So it's actually kind of like a strength, I would say, of mine. And you know what? I look more toward those Web 2 models of allocating capital more than I look toward these grant programs, because I haven't really seen many grant programs that have been effective. So I think that's a problem. I think sometimes in crypto, we try to like reinvent everything from scratch. Like private equity already figured this out, right? Like I have those models. I've executed those models. I know how to get a return on investment. So yeah, I have zero concerns that we'll be able to execute on that front.
Can you, that sounds great. That's very, gives me a lot of confidence. Can you give us any insight into like how you guys are going to structure this at TFL? I mean, is it just kind of, are there going to be people delegated? I feel like you have a lot of stuff on your plate, I'm sure. So I guess my question is like, is there a structure that you guys have like figured out already as far as how this is going to work at TFL? Is there going to be a committee that reports to you, or I guess have you not thought about exactly how this is going to play
out? Yeah, I think there are, I've thought about this a lot actually. And this is a really important point because I think there will be some things that we just like executive decisions we want to make at the TFL level, right? Like a teams come to us with opportunities, or we see someone who's building something interesting and we want to bring them on. And there are a lot of different ways we can structure it. Like I have an M&A background, so you might see us just buy some companies that are interesting that help accelerate development or help accelerate the ecosystem. But in terms of like giving grants, I think we're going to experiment because like for me to just say like, hey, I'm going to go back and look at what I did in private equity and apply that model or like in venture or public markets, it's a little bit disingenuous because things are different. Mostly the thing that's different is like the expectation of the return in crypto is just much like the timeline for that is much longer and much harder to predict. And so like, I'm not going to be able to like just apply like private equity. I can go look at a company's history. I can see the revenue run rate. I can build a financial model. I can project that out and I can put a value on how much I think it's worth. And then I can go back and review that afterwards. This is much more of like a venture opportunity. Everything is pre-revenue. And so we've got to come up with some justification for how, if we make investments as a community, how we can ensure that, how you can at least reason about how that money will come back to the ecosystem in terms of transactions and fees and engagement. And there are different ways we can structure these deals. Like that's another thing that kind of my experience from venture and private equity is like deal structuring, and incentive alignment. But it's really hard to do that from a community pool, right? Like these are like complex legal things that you have to do. But there are a lot of different ways we can structure those to, you know, give teams some operating runway, but mostly kind of force them to try to find product market fit. Because if you just give teams money to build, they're never forced to actually like, try to charge people for their product, and they're never forced to find out whether there's actual value, right? Like, and so it's important for me. I'd rather have less projects, but resilient projects that grow organically and over time, but develop product market fit and are able to support their expenses. It's important to me to like to try to find those types of products and to structure deals in a way that forces teams to reckon with those trade-offs. And so that's one thing. The second thing is like, what we also want to do is like leverage some of the DAOs we have to deploy capital on our behalf. So like I've had conversations with LionDAO about this. We can post things like experiments on labor markets or just generally without enterprise of outcomes we want to achieve. And like let our community DAOs or let anyone really come to us with proposals on like how they would achieve those outcomes and what kind of deal they would want in order to go execute on that. And I think there's a lot of like fun, interesting ways to deploy capital while engaging a very smart community that we have, a very DeFi savvy community that we have. And so those will be like things we want to look at as well. Like very soon, we want to roll those out. And part of that, and part of me building Growth DAO was to have like a decentralized community of analysts building out an analytics framework so that they could work directly with the people who are deploying this capital on behalf of Terra to help them like deploy it most effectively, measure the results of it, pivot, iterate, and ultimately like find methods of deploying that drive retention, engagement, and transactions.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah. Great answer.
Thanks for the question, sir. We've got Logan up next. Logan, do you have some questions?
Yeah. Can you guys
Absolutely.
Hear me? All right, cool. So my main question is for Chris, just getting a gauge on what he's most excited about when it comes to projects that are building on Terra. Like, you know, obviously, like, I haven't been too plugged in. I've been seeing things, but just from like someone who's really involved in the community and leading the charge, like, what are you most excited about from a development perspective?
Yeah, I'm obviously very excited about like Warp and Enterprise, because those are the projects that we're working on. I'm excited about getting Station V3 back out. We have multiple proof of concept MVPs working with Big Labs right now that I'm extremely excited to reveal. I think the reputation project that we're working on is going to be huge. I can talk about that a little bit. Actually, no, I'll save that. That's like its own space. But like applying, like in order for like all of this commerce and this kind of marketplace ecosystem to thrive on Terra, you have to have some form of reputation. And we've been building out a reputation system on top of Polygon ID for the last 2 or 3 months that I think is going to solve a lot of these problems. And I think TFL has, and Terra's ecosystem has a unique set of tools that it brings that's going to allow this to actually thrive in areas where people have tried and failed before. Just given that we have like this ecosystem and this community of people who are willing to try out new products, we have a wallet that can help you manage reputation, and we have enterprise and very soon labor markets that allow you to start building reputation. And so if you haven't kind of like looked around at how decentralized identity works, it basically allows you to own your data and your information the same way you own your money in crypto, right? Like, you have a set of keys. So if you do work on enterprise labor markets and you get a review, that review's yours. It's sovereign. You own it. It's cryptographically verified. You decide if people see it or not. And you can take it to any platform you want. You know, the Web2 comparison is like Fiverr or Upwork, where if you earn a review, you are locked in that platform, or Airbnb if you have a vacation rental, right? If you start building a reputation for your property, it's only available on that platform. And so I think this is one of like the really interesting promises of Web3, is to decentralize not only your money, but also your reputation, your identity, and to give you control of it back from Google or Apple or any of the platforms that you're locked into. And I think what that's going to do is open up an entirely new design space, because this Web3 reputation system, like I said, it allows you not only to like not be locked into a platform, it also plugs into the real world. And so you can combine Web2 credentials that you're getting with your Web3 credentials and build like this entirely sovereign reputation graph that allows you to, that I think allows people to start building a way to trust each other in Web3. And that allows us to bring the types of transactions on chain that could happen in massive volume without needing to risk a lot of capital.
From a standpoint, like, let's say that you did have this avatar profile, whatever you want to call it, on blockchain, when it comes to the ability to like rate someone's reputation. Let's say you had a business and then someone wants to leave a review. You know, what if it's a bad review and someone never did business with you? Is there some type of safeguard that you guys have already planned out? Like, or would it be like a smart contract related where, hey, there has to be proof of a transaction to leave a review or something along those lines?
It's completely configurable at the application layer. So like enterprise labor markets could enforce something like that. And users give feedback that they don't like it, and someone else builds a completely different version of that application, and the users can leave with their information and flow to where they find a platform that meets their set of values. Right. And you could apply this to Web3 social. You could apply it you could apply it to so many different types of like Web3 applications, and the opportunity to like generate transactions and activity is really unlimited. If you think about, you know, DAOs can bring their Discord roles on chain, and Logan, I know you follow Immutable a lot, right? Like, games could give credentials out as well for different different achievements, and Terra or any company could issue your your job history on it. And you start to build up this like a combination of like social achievements with work achievements. And the interesting thing about it is like, it's different than soulbound NFTs. People can't just drop them on you. Like, I can't just force some piece of reputation on you. You have to approve it. You get to choose who sees. It's all like, it's all built on ZK proof technology. So you get to approve who sees it, who doesn't. You get to approve. You can prove things are true. Like, you can prove you did a job without revealing the details of the job. And so that's like, I think it's just going to be a massive unlock for just a whole new type of application to be built. And I think those applications will be built on Terra, because like, we put a lot of work into this platform and then figuring out how this is going to work.
Yeah, those are things I'm, a lot of businesses like also get like held hostage by the reviews and whatnot. And like, you know, you want to find that balance between transparency, where if a business fucks up, that can be put on, that situation can be put on blast, right? Like, if it's if the business is disingenuous, it's not doing what it should, or an individual is shady, or whatever the situation is like, bad reviews are important, because you don't want another customer going into the situation and dealing with that same experience. But it's like, I've heard a lot of times from businesses just saying like how Yelp holds them hostage to an extent. So it'd be interesting, like, you know, how on-chain could kind of solve that problem. But I think it's one of those situations where there's no perfect solution to it, just because people are imperfect, and these are people that are leaving reviews, right? But like, there are better mechanisms to, you know, like, the product of leaving a review can be improved, which is essentially what you guys are doing. But there's always going to be a flaw in the system, just because it's people that are leaving reviews.
I think like, the interesting thing about it is, because there's no platform login, it allows people to flow to the platforms that that like align with their values. And like, Yelp is a good example. You have to be on Yelp, right? Especially if you've already built up a reputation there. And like, what are you going to go start? You can't go start from scratch on a new platform. But, and a competitor to Yelp, it's hard to build a competitor to Yelp unless you're, you know, Google or someone big, because you have to bootstrap all of those reviews. Now imagine if your entire reputation on Yelp could be ported to any other platform you wanted at any given time. You know, that's kind of what this offers. And so, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's the Web3 versus crypto view of the world. Like, there's more to this than just the crypto. There's like a Web3 aspect to it as well, where you are in control, and you take back control from the platform. So,
and when you're saying that, like, you guys are creating enterprise solutions, like, it's more of almost like B2B offerings as far as applications that you guys are focusing on developing. Is that
Enterprise is a brand. Enterprise is like the brand. So it there definitely is like enterprise is a brand is focused on allowing companies to do business in crypto and in Web3. But like, a labor market, a two-sided labor market, and some of the other markets that we want to build are kind of like a combination of B2B and users, right? Because they allow individuals to come in and pick up jobs and develop reputation and do work. And so there's definitely like, it's like a crossover, I would say. And there, I mean, I think the suite of things we're going to offer in the next, say, 2 years will be, I think we'll get much more focused on like direct consumer applications over time. What we found is just like, the tools to actually do business in Web3, like, every time we want to do something, I can't run my own company, TFL, in Web3. I'm a crypto company. I can't run my product. I'm literally on spreadsheets and QuickBooks. So that's a problem we have to solve. And that's a problem I've solved before. But over time, like, once we start building out the tools where you can actually run a business in crypto, then we can start focusing on like, how you bring that business to consumers as well.
Yeah, it's still so early, man. Like, that's what a lot of people don't realize about just crypto solutions, right? Like, you think of an idea and you're like, all right, I want to build out this idea, but oh shit, the foundation is even laid to where it's like, I want to build a website, but there's no WordPress. So now you got to go build a WordPress to then go build a website.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
You're building your own solutions as you're going through the process, which is, I mean, it's cool, but it's also like, this is why it's going to take multiple years, because the picks and shovels, like, you don't have picks and shovels to go dig. You got to go build those tools first before you can actually start digging. So it sounds like that's kind of like what phase you guys are in, huh?
It definitely is. And like, we've had some feedback as well that like, why is TFL slow to ship? And it isn't like what's happened with Station and Enterprise isn't so much like a software development problem where like we don't know how to organize a sprint and write code. It's that picks and shovels problem. It's like the type of products I want to build and the way I want Station to work and the way I want Enterprise to work has never been done in crypto before, or at least that I've seen. And as a result, the infrastructure doesn't exist to support it. And so we've had to like kind of pause and like our software development in terms of just like, you know, front end is ahead of where like the infrastructure and data that's needed to feed it sits. And we've had to go back, and that's what Foundation is like building that product, not only for our building a product that can support the type of applications we want for ourselves, but then ultimately making it available for free for everyone who builds on Terra, so that like every application in Terra gets to leverage what we've learned and the type of infrastructure we've built that's unique, that will be unique to, I think, unique to our applications, and that will kind of enable every application that's built on Terra to just be kind of a step ahead to the extent that the people who are building them buy into the vision. And so that you'll get, I think there's a little bit of this on Terra the first time around, right? Like, you just expected a certain level of UX UI and a certain type of experience. And I think that's, we're going to carry that forward into this version of Terra as well, but we're just going to push it so much farther in terms of what a crypto application should be capable of. And we're going to make different trade-offs in terms of UX UI and kind of fake decentralization to make these applications just like significantly more user-friendly for people who aren't degens.
Yeah. And it's also like important to keep in mind, it's going to take as long as it takes, right? Like, so right now I'm in the process of building an AI credit repair, software. And so I have a team of 30 developers, built multiple platforms that have scaled to, you know, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of users. So like, I understand from a software perspective, like, shit takes a while to build, especially when you're building something that no one's ever built before. And you can only take like so much inspiration or, like, you know, you could go look at, for example, if there are other competitors in the marketplace, you can go look at what they've done. And it's pretty easy to kind of like replicate and just make it better. But if you're more of a pioneer and like a trailblazer, okay, if this doesn't exist, I have to think through like an entire system that hasn't been built yet, right? So like, I get that. But my one thing that I'll say is like, it's going to take as long as it takes. And if you take your time and you build it the right way, the payoff is so much, it's worth it, right? So like, for example, Alex Hormozi, he's a entrepreneur, business influencer guy. Probably most of you have seen him, but he was talking about how his book took him like 2,000 hours to write, to publish. And so it was an average of like 10 hours per page in his book when it came down to it. But he put so much emphasis into the front end of building out the book to writing it the way that he wanted it. So when he launched it, you know, for every one buyer of the book, they're going and referring 5 friends to read the book, 10 friends to read the book. So he launches it once and is just his user base continually, his customer base refers more and more customers. So he's never going to have to launch paid ads or anything around the book, right? He can talk about it on podcasts, et cetera. So the same thing goes with tech. Like, you know, if you build it right, the users are going to come and the users are going to tell other users. Whereas if you try to go launch something and just like put it out there because you want to try to get some more hype around your token price or whatever it is at a strategic time you're trying to launch it or whatever it is, which is, you know, I see that a lot in crypto is like, how many things, how much shit can we throw against the wall to try to like prop up our token value to like create this perceived value, but none of the actual value is there. So I respect the fact that you guys are building, you're taking your time. And if you do that the right way, you know, the users will come and the users will refer other users because the products actually work and they're valuable. Right. So just respect to what you guys are doing. And I totally understand it. I'm a long-term holder. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing all this stuff come together over the next few years.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Good to see you. Good to see you back in the spaces. And yeah, there's definitely like a trade-off between like shipping quick and getting feedback and like holding back and reserving and like trying to get perfection. We definitely, everything we do at TFL is focused on long-term. And I think this grant is a reflection of that. Like we just need to make, we need to make bigger, long-term, smarter investments. But all that said, like if I'm still up here whining about infrastructure and like at the end of the year, then you should absolutely fucking roast me. Like there's no excuse for this to drag out too much longer. Like this is the work we've been doing like over the last few months. And it's a reason why we've kind of pulled back a little bit on shipping, but like there's really no excuse for this not to be done in the next couple of months. So we can commit to that. And you guys are welcome to DM Vlad hourly, daily, as much as you want, just to check in on of the status of development. Other Mike as well, you can hit him for station. But yeah, appreciate the thoughts. We are trying to balance like kind of like long term with just getting things out and at least getting stuff that people can use. And I think a fair criticism is, I mean, it's a fair inquiry to ask why things haven't gotten out sooner. And all I can say is you know, we learned some hard lessons about what kind of infrastructure we needed and who we could rely on to produce that. And I will not make that decision again. I will not ship, you know, buggy code again. And if that takes me a little longer, I'm willing to sacrifice and take a beating for it.
Cool. Thanks so much for the questions, Logan. Appreciate you. We got Blaze up here next. Blaze, do you have a question?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Hey, just looking at long-term for the vision of Luna itself, the token. Where does it come into play with all of these apps rolling out? Other than volume and fee generation and such, any other areas of utility for the token itself?
Yeah, I think like it ultimately... volume and fee generation is what's going to support all of these tokens, right? And if people are trying to convince you otherwise, don't listen to them. Like you have, this is all a bet. All of crypto is a bet, especially at the layer one level, that you can generate transactions on your blockchain. And there are a lot of like, you know, magic tricks you can do to make your token go up in the short term, but they never work long term. Like gravity is still a thing, and fundamental value will ultimately, everything will always revert kind of to its fundamental value. In crypto, it just reverts a lot faster and a lot harder and with a lot more pain. And so, yeah, number one, like I'm not going to sit here and tell you transactions don't matter, fees don't matter, they do. And that's what we have to drive. And that's ultimately how we're going to measure success. Now as far as like how the application strategy works in terms of like, can it add additional value to Luna token? Yes. Everything Terra does should add additional value to Luna. So the problem is like at the application layer, you have to create value first, right? Again, there are no magic tricks. There are no magic tricks. Like you can do short-term magic tricks. There are no long-term magic tricks. So you have to just create value. And then like, once we create the value, like if people are willing to use an application that directs transaction volume through Terra. That's very positive for us, right? And that's Station. That's enterprise. If people are willing to pay for a product that we can use that revenue for, because like Terra, if you go back and listen to like those old conversations with Doe, he talks about this a lot. Terra isn't here to generate revenue. It's here to support an ecosystem. But if we can build applications at scale that generate revenue, we just direct that back to the Luna token. And so once we create value, like directing it to the tokens, like the easiest part, or directing it, maybe it goes to the community pool. Maybe it goes to, we just direct it direct back to, you know, developers in form of incentives so they can continue to invest in bringing more transactions in. But like, yeah, like the value accrual part will be really easy if we can get the value creation right. And I mentioned this on Twitter, like in crypto, typically, like we had those conversations backwards. Everyone's talking about value accrual before there's like a single person willing to pay for anything. And that's a magic trick. That's not real. It's satisfying. Great. In the short term. It's satisfying short term, but it's not long-term sustainable. And like, man, I've been through that. I've been through short-term satisfying, long-term pain, and I'm not doing it again. And I think a lot of the people that are left in the Terra community have been there with me and don't want to do it again either.
Cool. Well, let's drive up the volume and get people to stay for a long time.
Let's do it. Thanks, man.
Thanks so much for the question, boys. Chris, we have some questions in the chat. Do you want to should we take a few of these?
Yeah, sure.
First question is, thanks to the King of Rio. So he was just wondering if we can discuss the emergency fund and if it's possible to claw back Luna from projects that didn't fulfill their commitment to build on Terra. So I think this is probably in relation to like Neptune or things like that. This is kind of like one of the impetus behind the grant itself, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking through that and looking at it now.
Sounds good.
Because it's there are like definitely like shades of gray and you know, I would put people in different buckets, right? Like this community grant thing, I think a lot of people look at it as like a massive failure. But you know, this was something I was going to put in my presentation, but we pulled kind of at the last minute. There are so many teams in Cosmos and in crypto that got that community grant that are still building today. And you know, we can't go back and like do the counterfactual where we say like they wouldn't have survived without it. But I know just anecdotally, a lot of them that are contributing important code wouldn't have survived without it. Now, where people get frustrated is some of those people aren't building on Terra. And I understand that frustration, especially from those who stuck around and fulfilled their commitments. I also have talked to a lot of these founders, and they didn't start with bad intentions. They never had bad intentions. They're just people with families and companies and employees who were trying to survive through a very challenging time. And so I don't know that it's productive to like go like it's like, where do you draw the line on whether they delivered or not? Like, we want to bring them back, right? Like if they're building in Cosmos, we there's still an opportunity to get them back. And I've talked with a couple of those teams now. So like, where do we draw the line on like what you would go claw back and what you think might still be productive in the future? Now, Neptune is like a different example of that, right? Like it wasn't like they took the community grant and it just didn't work out. They came back and took the audit money too, right? When they knew, from what I can tell, when they knew if you take them at face value, that there is a potential that they wouldn't be able to fulfill that commitment. And so that's like in a different egregious example that has my like radar up a lot more and me looking into like what is possible. But I don't think going back to like people who accepted funds a year and a half ago amid a massive crisis, and in many, some of them were just bad actors, but in many cases, just they failed. They tried and they failed. Like I think going back and trying to crucify all of these people is not productive. It's not something I want to do. I think the community, if it makes a different decision, obviously it can do that. I just don't know that TFL would do it. It was a tough time. And so for all the teams that survived, regardless of where they're kind of building, assuming they didn't just come back and try to take more money and rug us, I have respect, and I think we should continue to try to collaborate with them and bring them back into the fold.
Yeah, absolutely. Pyro had a question here. So his question is, Luna used to be DeFi centric and Station played an important part in onboarding users. I understand the new direction is focusing more on Web3 dApps. However, is Station going to play an important role like it did previously, or is it just a supporting tool?
Yeah, Station's the flagship, and it'll be at the center of everything we do. And I want to be clear, like we're definitely not moving Terra away from DeFi. I'm working with a lot of teams to help develop the DeFi ecosystem, and I'm going to bring a lot of capital in to support those teams so that they can be effective. What I'm trying to add like a commerce layer so that the DeFi isn't just, you know, a self-referential, it's like a snake eating its tail. Like if it's just a bunch of DeFi apps trading each other's incentive tokens, it's really, really fucking meaningless, and it's never going to work. Like it might work short term. You'll get pumps, you'll feel good, you'll get destroyed because no one ever sells when they're supposed to. And it won't be sustainable. So what we're actually just trying to do is like build a commerce layer, an economic layer under it, so that the DeFi is actually operating on top of an economy. It just doesn't, you know, finance doesn't exist to work in a vacuum. It works to allocate capital to economic activity and economic investments. And so we're definitely, and that's something I don't think I've been super clear on. We're like not moving away from DeFi. We're just trying to add that economic activity layer under it so that it's actually productive.
Yeah, absolutely. JG, I saw that you had requested to speak. I missed you. If you still have a question, feel free to just request again, and then I'll bring you up to ask your question. In the meantime, I'll look through here. I think there's maybe a few more questions. It doesn't look like Rebel DeFi is still in here right now. Here we go. JG's.
Well, so
hang on 1 second. JG's.
Yeah, I'll go get. I think I addressed some of, just quickly, I addressed some of, let me go back and look at Rebel's question because it was worth, he did ask what value of non-Luna treasury TFL will deploy. I think I covered that. Like, I think we'll deploy in the next 2 years. I mean, we'll easily deploy the entire current value of that Luna grant. And that's taking the entire current value of that Luna grant at face value that you could actually like sell that today. At that amount, which I think we all know that if you tried to sell even a fraction of that today, Luna would dump pretty hard. Let me just look at the rest of his question real quick. This is a good one to address. Previously, you said, this is the one I wanted to cover, Luna would not be staked. Now you're saying it's up to TFL to decide where to stake it. This is really important, and it's a good clarification, and we should talk about it. The last grant, we had said we wouldn't stake the Luna, you know, situations change now. I see a lot of opportunities to like deploy stake to get services for our ecosystem that otherwise would just be like a pure expense, right? And MintScan is a great example of that. Like we definitely needed to diversify our, given how we were kind of, I'm not even going to get into that community grant. We need to diversify and make sure that we have multiple options on Block Explorers. We need to do the same with a lot of different stuff. And so if I can deploy capital and get services for all of our teams, like without incurring a loss, I just have to be able to do that. I think the biggest concern, there's a concern there that there's definitely like a concern that we could take that stake. So we can't, the way the smart contract works now is we can stake it, but we can't vote. And so the validators still might be voting on our behalf and we can't influence that. The argument, if I like steelman this, is that, well, we could just, I think the argument is like, we could just set up our own validator, allocate to that and vote on our own behalf. And like, if you think TFL is like default evil, then that's what we would do. Right. But the thing that like to kind of take into account, or like there was also another argument, I think like TFL could do that and then try to steal the community pool in some way. And like, the one thing we have to keep in mind is like, if TFL steals the community pool, then everyone's just going to leave and the community pool is not going to be worth anything. Right. Like, so like TFL exists, and like, I think a lot of people on the call now realize like TFL exists to support the Terra blockchain and to make it thrive. The people who are left and the people who joined post DPEG, TFL is two different things. It's a legal entity and it's a group of people who have no ownership of that legal entity, but have some affinity to try to rebuild this fucking thing so that we have redemption, both ourselves and our community. There's just this idea that like the TFL is like this kind of like, there's no upside for a single person in this company to like try to go rip off the community or do wrong by the community. Like the only way we succeed and the only reason we're still here is to fix everything and to get redemption for all of us. And so, yeah, I mean, like there are definitely like scenarios you can play out. Long story short, with the staking thing, with our ability to stake, that if we were bad actors, could have a negative impact on the community, but none of them would be in our own self. Like there's no, they wouldn't be in our self-interest. The thing we would be trying to steal from everyone would be destroyed in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Why don't we take JG's question here as the last question. We're already about 20 minutes over. We also have another space for those who want to join later today as well. So you could definitely drop by, and if you have more questions about the grant, or just generally, you know, TFL or kind of what we're working on, feel free to drop by that space as well. But JG, do you have a question?
Not so much a question. Good morning, guys. I'm a little bit hungover, waking up in Vegas right now.
Yeah. Do you make any money at least?
No, it's a fucking infinite down.
Yeah.
It's the same as my crypto.
Yeah, down infinite. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I just wanted to let you guys know that as a layer two builder who's been grinding it out this entire time, you know, I think it's really important that we finally have a captain of the ship, and it's important that TFL gets back in the saddle, because when you look at the rest of the cosmos, it is in such disarray that we are in the perfect golden pocket opportunity to like reorder the things. And I really believe that Terra with these products has not only a chance, but like I don't even think people realize like this is could be like the new nucleus again, but we need to create a PowerPoint. And if TFL is left without any ammo or any power, that's not going to occur. So, you know, I was very vocal about that last prop going up, but I'll support this one. We need to start to rally the troops and get unified again.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I totally agree. Like, I won't even, yeah. I don't want to cause controversy, but there is a golden opportunity for someone to fill a void right now. And we should take advantage of it. We should, and we can. We should at least try. Like we basically have nothing to lose at this point.
everything to gain, nothing to lose. It's like 300, never surrender. We just got to keep going, man. Let's do this shit.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thanks for coming up, JG, and thanks everyone for everyone that came up and asked some questions, both here in the space as well as in the replies and on Telegram. We appreciate you guys. We all obviously love all of you lunatics in the community. Like I said, we're going to be doing another space later today. So if you guys want to drop by and chat then about the proposal or otherwise, feel free. And we will talk to you guys soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Really? Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile over here rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee jerk, more evolution, less shit coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.